Hey, what's up, everybody? Happy Thanksgiving Friday, maybe, or Saturday morning as you get set for Tennessee and Vanderbilt. The final game of the 2024 regular season, and oh boy, there is so much on the line. I'm Eric Kane, Grant Ramey here with me. We call this GameQuest, the FallQuest.com Game Day Podcast. We have done this all season long, and today's the final game of the regular season. And Grant, if I were to have told you back in July that the only thing standing in the way, of Tennessee in the college football playoffs, the only thing standing in the way from Tennessee in a 10-win season, the second in 3 years, is Vanderbilt, what would your response have been?
I would respond by telling my wife I'm probably going to be out of town December 20th through the 22nd because Tennessee's probably going to be in the first round of the college football playoff. I mean, Tennessee needed help last week. They got more help than they ever could have imagined. Immediately, basically, with Indiana losing to Ohio State and Ole Miss losing at Florida, then Alabama Saturday night, then Texas A&M Saturday night. I mean, it was chaos of the highest degree because it's college football and that's what it is. But here you are. Everything's in front of you. It's on a platter. Now you just got to go out and handle your own business. It seems like now, I'm not saying they're guaranteed a spot. I don't know how they would miss at 10-2. I guess crazier things could happen, but it does feel like you go out there and you win and you're in it because we saw Tuesday night. They were up to what? 8th in the rankings and 9th in the bracket, seeded in the bracket. So go take care of your business. You'll be playing in the first round. And if there's more chaos, then you could possibly be hosting depending on how stuff plays out over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, Grant, again, I think it's, I think you're in a similar situation to where you were this time last week. Now you were on the outside looking in this time last week, but like in terms of you only needed maybe one, maybe two things to go your way and you're right back in. In order for Tennessee to host, I think you need maybe one, maybe two things. And then you're right there in terms of, you know, hosting a playoff game. Because simply put, yeah, you win, you're in. Tennessee's not falling if it beats Vanderbilt after being ranked number 8 in the playoff rankings this past week. So
I think that helped started last week with Alabama looking the way it did at Oklahoma and losing that game because Alabama was obviously ranked ahead of Tennessee this time last week. I think you look at Notre Dame at USC this week. USC's not a very good football team. They've been pretty disappointing all season long, but they are also a football team that went up pretty big on Penn State at home, even though they gave up that game in the second half. But I think that shows you kind of what their potential is. I think that's the game you have to kind of circle in terms of Tennessee needed help last week. They got it. If they need help again this week, I think that's the one you look at because that would help you inch closer to that top 8 seed, I guess. Forget the ranking, whatever your seed is. Yeah. 5 through 8 is what you've got to be, and Notre Dame is one of those teams that stand in your way.
Hey, this GameQuest is presented by our great friends over at Premier Garage of Knoxville, East Tennessee's number one provider in custom garage flooring, cabinetry, storage solutions. Be the best Tennessee fan this football season and basketball season that you can be by ordering the Smoky Gray Hybrid Polymer Floor today at PremierGarageKnoxville.com/falls. PremierGarageKnoxville.com/falls. We'll hear more from Premier Garage of Knoxville coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. Yeah, man, it's funny. What you just said a moment ago, like, forget your ranking. It's all about seeding because it's just so weird. And they're going to expand in 2026 to, either 14 or 16 teams. And so some of this might be taken care of a little bit. But we got to get away from, you know, the fifth highest projected conference champion getting a bye. I mean, Arizona State, which is that team from the Big 12 right now, is currently ranked 16th. You know, under the rankings the other day, that they're going to bypass South Carolina, Ole Miss, Alabama, and Clemson to get in. That's not fair. Boise State is the fourth highest, and this is where it really is. Boise State is the fourth highest ranked conference champion projected. It is ranked number 11. So you're ranked number 11, by the way, coming off a 2-point win over not a very good team this past weekend. You're ranked number 11, but you're going to jump all the way up to the 4 and get a bye? That's not fair, but it is something that also has been very confusing in terms of rank seeding, and remembering, it's not just the Power Four, it's the four highest conference champions. Right. And that's why the Big 12, honestly, Tulane, I believe, is ranked 17th or 18th. Big 12 is on life support and just making the playoffs.
I think you have to overhaul it. I'm fine with conference champions getting the automatic berth. That's the way it is in the NCAA tournament basketball. I think that's the way it should be for the college football playoff. Getting the bye into the quarterfinals for the top 5 of those conference champions is kind of where I think it needs to be overhauled moving forward whenever they do expand it. Like, if you win your conference, you're in, that's great. Then just seed them how you feel they should be seeded as a selection committee. Like, rank them and seed them accordingly. The bypassing and the, you know, a Boise State getting a bye into the quarterfinals, an Arizona State would be obviously more criminal because they're ranked lower, like you said. Like, I think that's where the overhaul's got to happen. They got to figure some things out. Like, you know, all's not lost. This is not a disaster or anything like that. It's a good starting point. But you got to evolve a little bit as you go, especially if you're growing and expanding, you got to get it right. And I don't know, just reward more, I guess, for the season and the body of work more so than just you have an automatic berth and you get to buy into the quarterfinals as a top whatever ranking conference champion. Just kind of, I don't know, maybe more fair for the ones, twos, threes, the top of the order, I guess.
We're going to get into a Vanderbilt preview here in just a moment, I promise you that. But I was for conference expansion, but early on, I wasn't necessarily for it, like at the very beginning of this discussion, because every single year, there weren't four teams that could win a national right. championship. There just wasn't. We kept seeing blowouts in the semifinal round, blowouts. And you look at the projected field right now, and I mean, obviously, not all these teams can win a national championship, but gosh, it's fun. I mean, it's a blast, right? And who knows? Like, Georgia's capable of winning the national championship. I think Tennessee can beat anybody. It's still not played four quarters. Oregon, Ohio State are going to be tough outs. You know, I think Penn State is severely overrated. We know about Indiana being overrated. Notre Dame is interesting because it's a right. different team than when it lost early in the season. But still, it's so much fun. And I think the best part about this whole thing is the home playoff aspect. Yeah, sure, you miss out on a bye, but you get to play host to a playoff game, potentially at Neyland Stadium on December the 19th or 20th. By the way, if it was the 19th, how cool would that be for us? The only game in the country, we get to watch college football playoffs all day on that Saturday. You'll probably have basketball, but nonetheless, it's really, really cool. And Tennessee's right on the brink of it, man. I mean, if Tennessee can just go and handle business and win, it doesn't have to be pretty. You don't need style points. Just win.
I think people take there aren't 12 teams that can win a national championship and use it as a negative for a 12-team college football playoff. Like, yeah. We're going to get to the four teams that can win it because they're going to play their way into the semifinals. Like, you're going to prove it on the field if you can win a championship or not. Like, I think, you know, Oregon, Texas, Alabama, Georgia, I don't know who the fourth is, Ohio State. Did I mention Ohio State? Like, the teams that we thought in August that could win the championship are still, you know, at the top of the standings. Like, it's played out that way. But you're not losing anything by expanding the playoff field. You are adding meaning to a two-loss Ole Miss team going to Gainesville in November and a two-loss Alabama team going to Oklahoma, an Oklahoma team that hadn't had a pulse all season. Like, you're adding meaning to those games, because if you didn't, those teams are out of the four-team playoff, Alabama and Ole Miss with two losses more than likely. You're adding meaning to Indiana, Ohio State. How does Indiana look? Like, where do they drop to? Like, you're adding so much more to those games late in the season, and you're not losing anything. What are you losing? Like, different bowl matchups? Tennessee would be out of the four-team playoff right now and would just be playing for seeding. I'm sorry, for a bowl game and whatever that pecking order of the bowl list was going to be. So you go to Vanderbilt now and you're playing for a spot in the playoffs. I mean, it is a play-in game for Tennessee. So I don't think it's taken anything away. I think you could expand it again and it's still not going to take anything away. It's going to add to all these games late in the season that have a little bit more meaning because of the bigger playoff.
I just love the fact that in early October, we're sitting here saying, you know, elimination game, you know, I mean, like, whether it is or not, I mean, the stakes are always high, but
right.
they are so much. I mean, the conversation, I mean, again, this has been just an absolute slam dunk. I know we're talking football here, but it's been an absolute slam dunk. Year number one of the college expanded playoffs. Now let's see if the committee can get them right and seed them right. But here's one thing I do know, Grant. If Tennessee does not make the playoffs, it is nobody on the committee's fault. It is not Ward Manuel's fault. It is not Indiana's fault. It is not anybody's fault but Tennessee. That is not to say that Vanderbilt is a pushover like in normal years. Normal years, absolutely. Vanderbilt is a good football team this year. Is it a great football team? No. It's got a 6-5 record. This team lost to Georgia State. Let's remember, this team lost to Georgia State, but it beat Alabama. It took Texas all the way to the brink. I think Texas is a little bit overrated, and obviously Alabama chooses not to show up on certain games, but this is a team that can get you, and it's a team that, you know, lost by a touchdown on the road at LSU. One at Kentucky. I mean, it's a team that can get you. The environment, though, is not going to be a true road game, and I think that's going to help Tennessee. But if I'm Vanderbilt, Grant, oh my gosh, man, already bowl eligible. Clark Lee has done more than save his job this year. But if I can cap this fun season off by knocking Tennessee out of the playoffs or playoff contention, this would make my year. I mean, we use this analogy all the time, and Spencer Rattler, you know, used it on Tennessee a couple years ago, but it's like, you know, this is their Super Bowl. This literally is Vanderbilt's Super Bowl. It would be the biggest win ever just because of what's at stake for Tennessee.
Yeah, and that's why you can't say, you know, Tennessee's going to the playoff. No, Tennessee's got a big test in front of it at noon Eastern time Saturday, and it's a test you've got to pass. I mean, Tennessee was in this position 2 years ago and went to South Carolina, and they were a bigger favorite in that game on the road at Williams-Brice Stadium, a three-touchdown favorite almost.
20, no, I want to say, depending on where you looked, I mean, I was going to say, is it three-touchdown, like 22 right. points?
And this game Saturday at Vanderbilt's closer to a 10 to 12 point spread. So I think that's, I mean, and Vanderbilt is human. They've lost three of their last four. They've struggled. Like you said, they lost at Georgia State. They went to Missouri, went to overtime with Missouri. They followed those two losses back to back with that home win over Alabama. I think that adds to kind of how impressive that game was, even though Alabama is a little bit, like you said, hard to figure out what team's going to show up and what they're going to look like. You could beat Georgia or you could lose at Vanderbilt and get smoked at Oklahoma. So it's hard to figure them out. But this is a, listen, Clark Lee, I left him for dead a long time ago. I did not think he was going to be able to turn this thing around and win at Vanderbilt, but they have been extremely impressive. I mean, Diego Pavia, he's one of the best stories in college football.
Yep.
He's a quarterback, the kind of quarterback that has given Tennessee trouble in terms of running. I mean, we saw what Skylar Locklear did last week for UTEP, being able to get out of the pocket and make some plays. So Tennessee's got a tough test in front of it, but like I said, 2 years ago, you're in the same spot. Don't let 2 years ago happen again. Like, this is your second chance at playing your way into the playoff. A huge moment for the program. You got to go out there and you got to take advantage of it.
All right, we're going to get to Ollie Lane here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to come back. We're going to talk Tennessee Vanderbilt and give our picks and all that. Before we hear from Premier Garage, I do want a quick sidebar. There's not a coach in the Southeastern Conference getting fired this year, is there?
Oh, Brent Venables is not.
Think about it. Venables has already got the vote of confidence.
Billy Napier went from fired to maybe the SEC Coach of the Year based on how they've turned around. I mean, not really, but I mean, that's been a huge turnaround.
Beamer is probably the Coach of the Year.
Clark Lee has been incredible.
Clark Lee has more than saved his job. I think I might be making this up or dreaming this, but did Sam Pittman already get the 80s word that he's good? Or
that's a great question. I can't remember.
Okay,
I feel like it was Groundhog's Day from last year. 2023 is playing out all over again.
And so Sam Pittman might be up in the air, but then Mark Stoops might retire. But like, nobody's getting. I mean, how about that? Like, there might be one coach that retires and/or one coach that retires or gets fired and/or one coach that retires. It's just been a really solid year of football. There's all but two teams in the Southeastern Conference are bowl eligible.
I also kind of feel like it's almost like you better know who you're going to go get, and it better be, you know, there's no no-brainers in this business. We've seen a lot of guys that were shoe-ins and going to be great, and they flopped as soon as they got to that job. Scott Frost at Nebraska, Tom Herman at Texas way back in the day. There's no guarantees, but you better have that guy out there, because as soon as you fire your guy, half your roster is going in the portal. You're basically starting from scratch. So you better have – and I don't know that that guy is out there. Like, Florida fans were begging for Lane Kiffin early in the season. And then Billy Napier beats Lane Kiffin to knock him out of the playoff in Gainesville last week. So I don't know who is out there. If there are those guys out there that you're going to bring in, it's going to be a home run hire, guaranteed, no-brainer, not going to fail. Because if you do fail, you're going down a very slippery slope.
That you are. We'll get to Ollie Lane here in just a second. I do want to tell you guys about Premier Garage of Knoxville. Do you use your garage as some sort of man cave, watching football throughout the fall, maybe even trying to get a quick escape from the family? If you like me... If you're like me, there we go, English grammar. If you're like me,
I like
to start football Saturdays out there in the garage watching College Game Day or even starting that new 12:45 game on the SEC Network. It's my place. It's your place, and it's a place to get back a couple cold ones, escape from it all. So here's the question for you. What better compliment to your garage, this sanctuary of sorts, than Premier Garage of Knoxville's custom smoky gray hybrid polymer floor? Just gorgeous. If you're watching on YouTube right now, I'm going to share my screen, okay? You're going to see the speckled background right here. Look at that. Look at the orange, the gray. Look at this video right here. Oh, yeah. Look at that. That could be your garage. I mean, when the boys come over, they can be the talk of the town. Look at that. Fantastic. Go to PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols. PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols. So you see it right here. There's a phone number. You can sign up for a free in-home consultation, name, email, phone, zip code, submit. It's as easy as that. You can check out everything else that Premier Garage has got going on, like cabinetry, flooring, all that and more. And all the contact information is there, PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols. So, just be the best Tennessee fan that you can be. And you know, take part in a company that's been 15 plus years in business, locally owned and operated, thousands of satisfied customers. That is Premier Garage of Knoxville. Free in-home consultation. You can schedule it at premiergarageknoxville.com/Vols. premiergarageknoxville.com/Vols. And of course, do want to remind you guys about our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a place where you can win 10 times your money back this football season. All you do is pick more than or less than. They give you a stat projection. You pick more than or less than, and it's the largest independently owned daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. If it's just you against the numbers, no sharks, no professionals in there. Again, projection, more than, less than. You have to pick at least two, no more than six. You can do college football, you can do NFL, you can do college basketball, you can do soccer, you can do cricket. We know what there's tons and tons of sports on there. You can mix and match as well. But you're going to take a player. They've got a stat projection. All you do is more than or less than. Fill up your grid, at least two, no more than six, and watch the winnings roll in. And right now, you go to pricepicks.com/VQ. Go to pricepicks.com/VQ. Play $5. You're going to get $50 instantly if you put in that promo code VQ. Play $5. Get $50 instantly by using the promo code VQ. That is pricepicks.com/VQ. Promo code VQ. Guaranteed $50 once you play $5 in lineup. Check all that out and more at pricepicks.com/VQ. And we continue on here with GameQuest VFL. Former Tennessee offensive lineman Ollie Lane, just a year removed from playing. So he knows the scheme. He knows the players. He knows the fan base better than anybody. Ollie, I appreciate you joining me, man. What a big game. What a big opportunity here for Tennessee.
I know. It feels like, you know, almost we were in the same kind of situation, I guess, back in 22 going into South Carolina. So, you know, it's nice to, as a program, to be back at this spot. Obviously, huge game, just getting able to, you know, not only is it a rivalry game against Vanderbilt, but at the end of the day, it's a playoff game. I mean, this playoffs, yes, they start next month, but, I mean, for us, it starts now. And so, I mean, if you're not juiced up and excited for this one, I don't know what's wrong with you. But this is some high stakes Tennessee football this week.
Not to pull at old scabs, but you brought up the South Carolina game in 22. Mm-hmm. Knowing what's in front of you, you win. I mean, in that case, you had to win that week, and then Vanderbilt the next week, and you win the playoffs. Was there pressure entering that game? And if so, how do you get away from that pressure for this team this weekend against Vanderbilt? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, definitely, when I look back at 22, there wasn't as much pressure because, honestly, we didn't know South Carolina was going to come out the way that they did then. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, I think for this week, for this game in particular, I feel like there is – you don't want to talk about it and add pressure to them. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is – there's a lot of pressure on this game because, you know, we luckily, you know, Lord willing, gave us a bunch of those teams to fall last week, like Ole Miss and Alabama, and put us squarely right where we want to be back in a spot where we control our own destiny. And so, I mean, for them, it's just finish this season off the way you want to. This is your last final resume for the playoffs. Give them the last look of what you want Tennessee football to look like as you go, hopefully win it. And then the playoff game, give someone good stuff to look at and see, all right, this is a Tennessee team we really got to take seriously in this first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, of course, 2020 was an awful year, but because of COVID and the way the schedule was, technically there was a home playoff. There was a home game in the month of December, but man, there's an opportunity. You know, one other team kind of falls, Tennessee, if you handle business. Tennessee obviously could be in position to host, and wouldn't that be something, man? Could you imagine the environment at Neyland Stadium a couple days before Christmas in a playoff game? I mean,
it'd be insane. I mean, that would be – I mean, tailgating to a 10. I mean, everybody. I can't imagine anybody would not just would be sitting at their house for that one. They'd be coming out, hanging around the stadium and stuff for that week. And I mean, that's just one would bring so much more national prowess to this program. And I think that's something important to highlight with the ability to get back into a real chase for a championship puts us back on that level with everybody else where we've been trying to get to for, it feels like the last 20 years, ever since 98, just trying to get right back to it. And I mean, this is the first step in what's been a really long road getting to that spot. So it's exciting.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier that there's a lot of pressure on this game. And let's be completely frank. I mean, the pressure is all on Tennessee. Number one, you're a favorite. Mm-hmm. Number two, you're playing Vanderbilt. Number three, you're on the road. Number four, obviously, you've got a spot in the college football playoff on the line. This team is very veteran-led. Guys like you in that locker room from last year – still there. Thomas, Eason. I mean, of course, Brew McCoy. I mean, I can go on and on. Mm-hmm. Do you think the fact that this is a veteran-led team will kind of help control those emotions? And it's easier said than done. I get it. Mm-hmm. But try to treat it just like another game.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, that's obviously starts from Coach Heupel, and that's how he preaches it every single week. It's just another game, and it's the biggest game because it's the next one on our schedule. But with those veteran leadership, these are guys that have been around Tennessee football for a long time. They've invested and bought into the program. And, you know, at the end of the day, you look at the different factors that affect college football and athletes this year, especially this year, a lot with like NIL and all that. But, I mean, the guys that are here, these veteran leaders, truly love the University of Tennessee. And you can see it in the way that they play and the way that they lead the rest of this team. And so, I mean, I think that's going to be a big factor in helping them just kind of calm the nerves a little bit, ease with the pressure. Because, you know, they've been – a lot of these guys have been in positions like this before. Obviously not to a grand scheme of you when you're in. But, I mean, I think that is going to go a long way in just getting everybody on the right mindset, on the right track, focused to – we got to accomplish the mission. We got to finish this out strong. And then we control what goes on from here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the same way. You don't like not being mm-hmm. in control of things, but Tennessee certainly is in exact control of what it can handle. And that's Vanderbilt on Saturday. Let me ask you this. I mean, we kind of talked about it with Florida, Alabama and all that. What does this Vanderbilt game mean to you? You're a guy that grew up in East Tennessee. Mm-hmm. History says Tennessee finishes, you know, old history says Tennessee finishes off the regular season beating Vanderbilt and beating Kentucky. You know, there are Alabama, Florida, Georgia, those games might mean more, but Vanderbilt's an in-state foe. It's their Super Bowl every single year. I know that's kind mm-hmm. of a derogatory term, but I mean, it is, yeah. And it's a game that you can't stand to lose. And so what does this mm-hmm. game mean to you?
Yeah. I mean, when I look at it, obviously, when I look in the grand scheme of rivalries and what rivalries mean a lot more to me, the Vanderbilt one, I'm going to be honest, ranks low.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, when I was a player, what really hyped me up for it was, you know, when I played a high school football in Tennessee, I never got an opportunity to play for a Tennessee state championship. And so I kind of just put that label on this game. It's the state championship for the Tennessee. Who wins it controls the state. And I love going and, you know, I had an older brother, so I always was the little brother getting picked on. Well, I like being able to, I played at Tennessee. I was the big brother, and I love going down there to Nashville or having them come here so we can pick on little brother a little bit more. But, you know, like you said, you hate to lose these games because as a Tennessee football player, you believe that Vanderbilt doesn't stand to the level that you do in Knoxville. And I mean, especially with where our fans stretch out to and our fan base is way bigger than what Vanderbilt's is. And so you want to, you go into those games expecting what you expect. But, I mean, when you look at Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt hates us. They hate us a lot. They're going to pull out all the stops because, like you said, this is their Super Bowl, and they treat it as such. I mean, Vanderbilt loves every single opportunity they can have to ruin a Tennessee football season. And, I mean, this is almost a silver platter for them to take and ruin what could be a really great season for us. And, you know, it's funny when I look back at Vanderbilt, they've continued to impress me a lot this year. When Coach Lee said at SEC Media Days, I think this summer, that he's bringing Vanderbilt to national prowess and going to establish something, I laughed it off. I was like, this guy is crazy. That's never going to happen at Vanderbilt. But, I mean, you can see he's putting the time and the investment in it that hasn't been with a Vanderbilt program since it seems like Coach Franklin. And then, you know, Coach Franklin hit his peak there and they couldn't continue to have them there. So, you know, I hope for Vanderbilt's sake that they continue to allow the school to invest in him and what he's doing with that program, because there's no reason that Nashville, Vanderbilt shouldn't be a premier spot for some SEC football. I mean, it's the heart of the South almost. So, you know, it's exciting to see that. And maybe it'll bring a lot more excitingness to this rivalry of just some more close games. Now, obviously, I don't want that as a Tennessee fan. I don't want close games. But, you know, just for the love of the game, you'd love to see all the more competitiveness out of rivalries that you can get.
No, you're right. And, you know, this is a separate conversation for another podcast, but it's about mm-hmm. the school's got to choose to invest in athletics, yeah. not just football, but football drives the ship. They got to mm-hmm. make a simple decision. Are we going to invest in athletics or are we not? And I think, you know, the renovations of the stadium is a good start. I know they've got, you know, NIL stuff kind of going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So it looks like those things. But I know a couple of years ago, like, they just cut, like, a bunch of their sports information staff. And I'm like, okay, that right there shows that you're not serious about this. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, you're right. I mean, it would make college football better, would make the Southeastern Conference better. On that note, we're going to get to Vanderbilt. I think this is a good ball club this year, and certainly is not a gimme. I mean, so many Tennessee fans, just because it's routine, I can't blame them. It's like, oh, Vanderbilt playoff, shoot, let's go, book our hotel rooms. But I do want to ask you about playing at Vanderbilt. You and I have talked about communication, that type of stuff on the road. This isn't a true road game, essentially, right? There's going to be more orange than black and gold. What's it like playing at First Bank Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, sometimes it's almost like it's just our second home stadium, almost. It's like we've got a stadium in Nashville sometimes. And, you know, you see that a lot with Vanderbilt games, is obviously more fans for the other team pour in. But, you know, I look back at the times that I've gone to Vanderbilt. It's always been a pretty good environment. They've got a nice stadium to play in. And so, you know, for us, it's not as much of a concern or pressure for me that it is a road trip, because I know we struggle on the road.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we've got so many fans just stretched across Tennessee itself. I mean, you're hard-pressed to believe that there's more black and gold in Nashville itself than there is orange. And, you know, it helps us in the turn. You know, communications, you don't got to worry about. You don't got to worry about going on silent count. And, I mean, we've still put those things in the past because you still treat it as a road game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you get in the flow of the game, you start moving things around, and those kind of issues go out the door, especially with a team like Vanderbilt, because it's just not a heavy fan presence for them at a lot of their games.
Diego Pavier, really, really talented player, dual threat. They have true option in their offense with him, not just read option, but, you know, read option. Mm-hmm. They can run a triple option off that, you know, by using the tight end as a pitch guy. RPO's involved there. But, I mean, as he goes, Vanderbilt goes. He's a bit beat up, and I think that's a storyline in this game. You know, they had to put the backup in there a little bit last week. He's not 100%, but he's still a really, really good player. I mean, yards gained. He's almost at 1,000 yards gained on the season before you take sacks into consideration. Defensively, I know you played a little high school football or defense back in high school football. Defensively, I mean, how critical is it? Gap assignment. You know, dive quarterback. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be big this week.
Yeah, no, and I mean, like you said, you can go into the coach speak about it, but this week is truly, it's just all about eye discipline and knowing where you're supposed to be on the field, especially with how they run the option. You know, we've seen option offenses hurt us in the past, and then, I mean, got a little taste of it last week with Locklear from UTEP. I mean, a quarterback that's able to move around, and that's what you're going to continue to face more and more in college football is the mobile quarterbacks. The mobile quarterbacks are the hot topic. They've been for the last, I feel like, 10 years now. And so he's dangerous, but it's important for us, especially it's another game that is going to be highlighted that you're missing a guy like Keenan Peely and his experienced eyes and discipline. But, you know, they've done a really good job of getting T-Lander and Caleb Perry and Arian Carter to just to step up to that level and fill the big hole that he left. But they continue to improve and impress me each week, especially with just being young and you don't have as much experience with, all right, I truly need to be disciplined. I can't hop out of spot for 1 second and get right back into it. They're learning that it's important that you get yourself into the right position to start, and they're doing a better job with it. So, I mean, for this week especially, it's just as you're watching the ball move around, it's important to just keep your eyes on who you're reading. Who are you reading, the quarterback? Are we reading the running back? Focus on it. Don't try to overextend and make super giant plays, because sometimes that'll come back and bite you. And give up big runs, especially to some of these playmakers that they have with the ball. So, you know, it's going to be exciting to see how our defense matches up. But again, like you said, this is another week that is truly just all about gap discipline, eye discipline, and just being where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, you brought up a good point, you know, keying on who your key is supposed to be. And, you know, in high school, like if you're playing linebacker in high school, you're taught to read the guards. The guards will take you, right? Or if you're outside the box, in man on line of scrimmage. In college, at least in my experience at D2, you read that triangle. So the guards will lie to you, right? You read the back, but the guards will lie to you. But if you read through the guards to the back or whoever, that'll take you to the play. Again, you're a football player. I know you didn't play defense at Tennessee, but you know you're a football player. How difficult is it to, I mean, if you're Eason, Thomas, Norman Lott, even James Pierce on the edge? I mean, you're trying to just get back there and sack the quarterback and trying to make all these moves and everything, but in a game like this, you've got to be anchored in, because if you get flushed out, man, that's a huge lane that opens up. We saw it last week against UTEP a little bit. Being disciplined, how difficult is that as a competitor in that moment And how do you stay grounded and make sure, like, okay, well, I got to rush the passer, but I got to keep my lane.
Yeah, no, and I mean, it goes back to your aggressiveness. I mean, a lot of people, especially this defensive line, they play with a lot of aggression. So you want to cause havoc and chaos, but it's important to know when you can and what plays to do it on. If you're one of the ones that's flushing them and not reading, then yeah, get back there, create chaos. And I know that's what this D-line wants to do. They love getting vertical, pressing blocks back. And so it's just going to be important for them to not get too out of control and too over-aggressive with it. Yes, you don't want to say reel it in a little bit, but reel it in just a touch and be able to make some quick cuts on your feet. Because, yes, our defense thrives on getting back there and creating chaos. And, I mean, especially when I played defense in high school, that's what I wanted to do. You get back there, you create chaos, find the ball later. But with offenses like this, that's not really the best option that you can go with. So it's important to, when you have the opportunities to get back there, create havoc on drop back passes and stuff, do it, make him uncomfortable, but then be set in your shoes, ready to make quick cuts or decisions based upon these read options.
The last couple of years, man, you guys have ran the football all over Vanderbilt and just kind of like, you know, licking your chops, getting ready to go again, right? Yeah. This year, they've been pretty decent. They're right in the middle of the SEC in defending the run, where, like, last year, by, you know, mm-hmm. they weren't even in the same solar system as the rest of the SEC. I think, you know, this keys to this game offensively, get off to a good start, but be who you are, and that's a really good mm-hmm. running football team where, at times, the offensive line has struggled to protect. An offensive line is, you know, you were part of three of them. Four mm-hmm. straight years, Tennessee has rushed for 2,500 yards. That's never been done in Tennessee history. Mm. So I just feel like Tennessee needs to pick up right where it left off, run the football, and allow that to open things up for Nico.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, especially with how important our run game has been to this offense this year, there's no reason that it wouldn't hold true this game. Now, obviously, Vanderbilt's done some things since the last time we played them to improve their defense, and they've had a good defense. But at the end of the day, I believe in our run game, and I know every time that we've played Vanderbilt, it's hammer the run, hammer the run, hammer the run, and it's worked every single time. And Dylan Sampson does a lot of special things with the football back there, and I know he can make a lot of Commodores miss. I've seen it happen in live action, and I'm ready to see it happen again during the game. So, you know, it's one of the big keys that we always looked for when running the ball is, you know, power has always been a great option against the way that Clark Lee likes to structure his defenses. It works out a ton for us. And, you know, you'll see even the added guard tackle counter coming around the edge to kind of clear up a ton of space. We hit them big. I can't even count how many times we ran a play similar to that last year against them and had so much success. You know, that's the viability of this game. This game can be a complete boat race at the beginning. It just depends on if we can fire on all cylinders, we can make it a no contest if we wanted to. And every single game with the capability and ability of what this offense can do, that can happen. It's just you got to get those cylinders clicking early and get everything going. You saw the slow start last week trying to get bigger plays going early, but then you start going back in the second quarter and the second half, hitting your small routes, hitting your good runs and just effectively driving the ball down the field. And I feel like that's what I more or less want to see out of this game. I know what this game is capable of and how good the run game is. Use that and just effectively drive down the field. We don't have to get 20, 30 yard chunks at a time, but if we need 5 to 10 to 8, somewhere around there. I mean, if you're pushing first downs and moving down the field, then that's great. At the end of the day, when Vanderbilt's on offense, they're going to try to keep the ball away from us and hold it as long as they can. So in turn, let's continue to use our time effectively and make sure that it's working both ways.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, this offense is all about moving you guys, tackling, mm-hmm. pulling across, kicking out all the time. I love what you just brought up. Like, you know, everybody block down, guard, tackle, pull, kick, mm-hmm. lead.
Yeah.
Man, Lance Hurd has escorted Dylan Sampson into the end zone a couple of times this year. Nobody to block, essentially.
Yeah.
I love those plays, and I love seeing those guys get out there and run. And that's kind of what this offense is built on, is linemen being able to be athletic enough and coordinated enough mm-hmm. to go make that happen.
Yeah, no, and this offensive line has improved a ton throughout the season. Obviously, there was a lot of belly aching and stuff at the beginning of this year with especially the tackle play. But, you know, I got to commend Lance Hurd and John Campbell and then obviously Dane Davis, who's played a significant amount of time. They've done a really good job of understanding, you know, they're smart guys. I know them well, and I know their mentalities. They were able to look at where they were at and continue to make efforts each week, each day in practice to get to the level of which Tennessee expects them to play at. And they've done a really good job improving. And like you said, you know, with these tackle pulls, it really highlights the athleticism of some of them. Even Dane getting around on pulls, he's not the most light on the feet, but, you know, he's pretty – he's moves fast, gets around
there. He moves real fast for 335.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, and that 335 brings a big wallop when he meets somebody too. We always called him the Thunderdome.
I mean, yeah, Dane, I mean, this whole year it's been like starter A, starter 1A, starter 1B at right tackle. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dane's played, I don't have the snaps in front of me, but obviously, and not just this year, I mean, Dane's played such a huge role the last couple of years. So it was cool to see Lampley get the start against UTEP on senior day as well. I thought that was a good move. And
I think,
you know, score-wise, you don't have to throw out, I mean, how do you think this game's going to go? I think that this is going to be one of those in typical Tennessee fashion. If Tennessee lets them hang around, it's going to be a nail-biter to the end, or Tennessee just blows them out. And I think Tennessee's going to win by 10-plus. I think Tennessee will cover that spread. I just think better players, better athletes. Tennessee's got the best player on the field, both offensively and defensively. I think they got better coaches. And I think the veterans in that locker room know what's at stake here and just not simply going to let Vanderbilt keep them from the playoffs. So I think Tennessee wins by 10-plus. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I think I've seen this game play out a ton, and I keep going back to different scenarios of which good Tennessee teams have gone up there and laid an egg and not played. I keep thinking back to 2016 specifically and just thinking of Dobbs and Kamara going up there and what happened. But, you know, I know this team. I know the players on it, that leadership. They know what's at stake. They haven't had this opportunity to be in the playoffs since 22, and they want to get right back in it. Like you said, our talent's a lot better than theirs. I think you might see some slowness like we have periodically throughout the season. But, you know, like you said, I'm thinking 10, 14 plus that we secure a win here. You know, you might let them play around for a while. But with the Pavia already banged up, I think our defense goes ahead and gets him out. And then they're kind of struggling, scrounging around, trying to figure out some life in them. And we just ended up snuffing it out. I want to say – somewhere around 35-17, anywhere between 17 and 24 ish makes sense to me for Vanderbilt, but 35 sounds like the right number for us. And maybe even 42. And I just, honestly, it depends on how effective we can get that run game going at first. Cause I know against them, run games have made big plays for us.
Yeah. It's funny. Like I already recorded the end of this show before I talked to you, and my score prediction is going to be, spoilers, 35-21. And everybody's like, oh, Vanderbilt scored over 20 points. Only Georgia's done that. I mean, Diego's going to make plays, man. Pavia's going to make plays. And this is not the just team you're just going to throw to the side like normal. This team's got talent. Mm-hmm. It's beat Alabama. It's, you know, beat Auburn by 10 on the road. It hung with LSU. It took Texas all the way down to the wire. It's also the same team lost to Georgia State, but like this is a talented team. They'll make some plays.
Yeah, no, and I mean Vanderbilt obviously, like I said earlier, loves to ruin our seasons, and I mean they're going to be fired up for it, and they've been fired up for a lot of the games they've played. I mean that's the one thing that I'm really impressed with Vanderbilt is every single game it hasn't been just a cakewalk for the other team like it normally is for Vanderbilt. And I mean even for them, I can't remember the last time Vandy's gone on the road, especially to Auburn, and win a football game is insane. So, I mean, this team at the end of the day for Vanderbilt has a lot to pat their back on, and I'm sure they are looking for a lot more too.
Should be a good one, man. If you win, you're in, and hopefully you and I will be talking again here in a couple of weeks about Tennessee's, man, it would be great if you could win here and then host. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, looking forward to seeing what happens, man. As always, Ollie, I really appreciate your perspective, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Great stuff is always there from former Tennessee offensive lineman Ollie Lane that has played in this football game, I guess, five times, been around it for six times. I don't know. COVID years are confusing. But a guy that knows what Tennessee and Vanderbilt's all about, a guy that knows what playing at historic First Bank Stadium is all about, and a guy that knows what's on the line here for Tennessee. You know, he was a part of that game 22 when everything was in front of them. They came up short and, you know, grant a chance this Saturday to not do that and, you know, come away with a win and make the college football playoff. Okay, so the story for Vanderbilt is quarterback Diego Pavia. Okay, he goes, they go. It's as simple as that. We've talked about it all week long. He can sling it a little bit, 60% completion, 16 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He can run it. They will have design runs for him. They will have read option runs for him. It's a true option quarterback dive pitch. 825 yards gained. You take sacks into the fold, 671 yards netted, 6 rushing touchdowns. Those are all team highs. I mean, it's far and away he's the best runner on the team. Traditional run game is okay. It's not great. Cedric Alexander, A.J. Newberry, they throw to the backs out of the backfield. But the key guy on offense outside of Pavier is the tight end Eli Stowers. They're gonna run 12 personnel. They're going to run 22 at points and times, which is 2 backs, 2 tight ends. Tennessee's going to have to counter with a 4-3 at points and times. And then, of course, I'm intrigued to see how much they keep the 4-2-5 look with Boo Carter still out there at the star position when they go 12 personnel and 2 tight ends. But starts with the quarterback. They've got a dynamic playmaker in Eli Stowers. This is an offense that's going to try to keep the football away from you, Grant. And Tennessee has got to get off the field defensively. Got to get off the field defensively.
They do. Going to be a really good test of discipline, of getting after the passer without losing contain, of being super aggressive without, you know, letting him out of the pocket and make big plays. Testing the middle of the field defensively. We've seen a lot of teams take advantage of Tennessee in the middle of the field, especially in that 4-3 look. If you do go 4-3, how much do you do it, and what do your linebackers look like? What combos do you have out there? But I think Josh Heupel talked about it maybe Monday during his press conference about that fine line between you want to be aggressive, you want to get after the passer, you want to pin your ears back a little bit, but you also have to keep contained, you also have to be disciplined, you also have to make your reads because they're going to be multiple reads, and it's just going to be a test of discipline, of scheme, of execution, of, to quote Butch Jones, eye discipline, to figure out what they're trying to do and how to stop this kid.
Listen, you can't live in coach speak, but like fans just want to make fun of Butch or Pruitt or whatever, but like,
but it's real.
Eye discipline's a thing. Complimentary football is I wrote a column about this post game. I forgot what game it was, but like my lead was Tennessee fans might make fun of Butch Jones all they want, but complimentary football is 100% real, and you just saw it for 60 minutes. Like,
and
it's a real
thing. And sudden change is I've heard too many coaches say sudden change to think back to how much we made fun of Butch for saying eye discipline's the same thing. Maybe he just made it, I don't know, mainstream. I don't know what the word is there, but I've heard too many coaches use his terms since then, or use those same terms. I'm not going to credit those to Butch to think that we laughed at him.
If you have a chart, you can't be married to your chart. Okay?
Standard chart. The standard football chart.
That's a thing
chart
you can make fun of. But
we're going way down memory lane here.
I mean, it's funny. So when I started covering Tennessee, it was the last year of Butch Jones, and everybody was making fun of the Champions of Life thing. And like, you got to think about it. I played, and then I covered, you know, Carson Newman for like 6 years. And, you know, I mean, it was Ken Sparks. I mean, that was the whole thing. So like, I'm coming up and I'm like, all these fans are making fun of Championships of Life and all this. I'm like, I mean, I heard that for like 6 years. That's normal for me.
here's a good Vanderbilt story. I went to the 2012 game working for the Maryville Daily Times. I didn't make any money. I had to keep a full-time job there technically, and a part-time job at the airport where I was working before I got that job.
When he was breaking all the suitcases because he didn't give up.
Right. So that was a night game. So I covered it in Nashville, drove home, changed clothes, went to work at the airport, clocked in at 4:30, worked 5-hour shift or something, whatever, came home and crashed. And I slept through the Derek Dooley firing because he was fired that next day, that Sunday, because they lost 41-18 at Vanderbilt the night before. So work smarter, not harder. That's my message to you.
Okay, hold on. I got a couple of things. Number one, I'm not shocked whatsoever that you did that whole thing, knowing you.
Listen, I needed money. I didn't have any money. I'm a kid.
Coming from a guy that had 7 jobs at one point, like I get it. Like I get the hustle. But the fact that you covered a game, drove home, worked, no sleep, I'm not shocked. Number two, holy crap. Like, you slept through the firing. Like, that is...
I laid down for a minute. It's one of those things where you close your eyes for a second, you wake up 3 hours later, and you're like, what happened? Where am I? And I picked up my phone, and...
Oh, no.
I missed every alert in the world that Derek Dooley had just been fired. But,
like in our profession, hirings and firings, like if you're not breaking the story, you better be alert and better be ready to react to it, because like those are the two biggest things. And oh my goodness.
Same thing. Kind of the same thing. Donnie Tindall got fired pretty early in the day, in whatever day he got fired. I guess that was 2015. I had a 1-year-old daughter who decided to sleep in that day. And I thought, I'm going to sleep in too. If she's sleeping, I'm sleeping. Whoops. Donnie Tindall got fired. I woke up to more notifications on my phone. Good stuff.
Oh, man. That is quite the story.
You know what I'm thankful for this Thanksgiving week is a sturdy athletic department where we're not worried about who's getting fired and sleeping through firings because they're winning games.
No kidding, man. I mean, I was
knock on wood.
I was on high alert for literally like 6 weeks with the Tony Vitello stuff this summer. Like, had the story written forever ago. Continue to update it a little bit. You
the
know,
Rays like, extension story, not the is he leaving story. Just to be clear, because we just talked about coaches leaving.
Yeah. Obviously, Tony's here. The Rays. Yeah, he was not leaving. The extension. The Rays. Right. The Rays. You know, to be the highest paid coach in college baseball. I had that sucker wrote like a day after we got back from Omaha, because while everything was going on, me being Big J, everything was going on the field. I went over and talked to somebody. I'm like, all right, when's this extension happening? So like, I was getting ready to roll.
I don't want
to
refresh every single day for the next 2 months trying to figure out if I'm going to miss it. I don't want to miss it.
And then, of course, you know, for you know, 6 weeks, that's exactly what we did.
Right.
Well, can we go with it now? Can we go with, no, wait on this? But anyway, that's the beautiful thing about our profession. But back to Vanderbilt. One thing, like, if you look at the stat sheet, man, like, defensively, they were dead last in pretty much everything last year. They're not much better this year, but there's improvement. They've really improved against the run. They were horrendous against the run last year. Clark Lee's calling plays defensively this year. They've improved that. They're right in the middle of the SEC, 123 yards allowed on the ground. I guess my point is, like, if you look at the stat sheet, they're not elite in anything. They're not really good, not really anything good in everything, but they do a couple of things at an elite level. They protect the quarterback, and I think Pavier helps his offensive line too. Only 14 sacks in 11 games. That's really good. They don't turn the football over. 6 turnovers in 11 games. Really good. They take the football away. They've got 12 takeaways, got 8 picks. They defend the run pretty well. They're really good inside the red zone defensively, holding opponents to 55%. It's like another one of those coach speak things. You hear Heupel say this all the time. We just got to do the ordinary things and at a high level. You know, stack days on days on days. That's kind of what Vanderbilt does. Like, they do the little things correctly, and it gives them a chance to go and knock off Alabama, Texas, and all that. And,
right.
And you know, it might have an opportunity against Tennessee. Tennessee doesn't need to let them have that opportunity, though.
They do the stuff that's kind of a recipe to how to win football games. Yeah. Take care of your quarterback. Stop the run. Take care of the football. Don't turn it over. Don't give extra possessions to the other team. And they kind of do the things that Tennessee has done well, executed well in areas they've executed into win football games. Like, they've got after the passer. They've forced turnovers. They've ran the football.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of all you need to know. Like, Clark Lee proved himself as a coordinator. Like, you know what he's about as a coach and how good he can be as a play caller. But it is about, can Tennessee go out there and execute and do their own thing? Like, Tennessee's offense has been maddening at times, frustrating when it's not clicking, when it's different areas that are not executing. It's going to be up to Tennessee to find a way to execute at a high level, play your best 60 minutes you've played all season. It couldn't come at a better time than Saturday, because everything's on the line. Like, you've got to cause some turnovers. You've got to get some takeaways. You're going to have to run the football. You're going to have to catch the football. You're going to have to put the ball out there where it needs to be and not overthrow, stuff like that. Like, all these things that you're going to have to protect the quarterback, all these things that we've talked all season about not working and not clicking and not meshing at the same time. Like, it's got to come together because you got to go out there and win a football game. Like, it's a road game in theory on paper. Obviously, there's going to be more Tennessee fans there because we've seen that. That's what happens at Vanderbilt. Texas did it. Alabama did it. But you still got to go over there and win a football game. It's going to be tough because we saw Texas struggle to do it. We saw Alabama fall on its face trying to do it.
Sidebar times two, that home slate for Vandy. Couldn't ask for a better home slate this year.
Yes.
Alabama, Texas, Tennessee.
And I think it's, I mean, if you're a Tennessee fan, you might as well buy season tickets for Vandy if you're in the mid-state, because you get this game, which is crazy prices for Vanderbilt football, and you get Texas, you get Alabama, you get, I mean, it wouldn't be the dumbest thing in the world.
Yeah, wouldn't be the dumbest.
You could make your money back pretty easily, I should say that.
I think, I mean, yeah, you know, offense got to roll. I think getting off to a quick start, I think running the football, I mean, same song and dance. We talk about it every week. In this game, if I'm Vanderbilt right now, I'm like, okay, I'm the underdog, okay? If I'm going to pull off this upset, these things have to happen. If I'm Vanderbilt, I have got to win special teams. And Vanderbilt is really good on special teams. Brock Taylor, Knoxville Catholic, they would love to show the University of Tennessee that they missed on him and took Max Gilbert, right? I mean, he's 17-20, 85%. He has 5 field goals this year exceeding 50 yards. Ain't bad, right? 57 yards is as long. Brock Taylor's been phenomenal for them in terms of kicking. 20 of his 33 boots on kickoff have gone into the end zone. The punter's been pretty decent. The punt returner, very comparable to Boo Carter, Martel Height. 1 punt return for a touchdown, 16 returns, averaging 16.1 yards per return. Boo Carter in 12 returns is averaging 16.3 yards. So if I am Vanderbilt, I'm like, I've got to win special teams. If I'm Tennessee, you can't let them win special teams, right? Like, make a stop and all that. We'll see if Brock Taylor can boot it through, but coverage units got to be good. You can't let them have, you know, flip field position. You got to boot the ball into the end zone. Like, field position is going to be huge in this game because, again, if Vanderbilt's going to pull off the upset, they've got to use that phase of the game to help. And if I'm Tennessee, I need to squash it.
Yeah, Boo Carter's been a revelation kind of a punt returner with the stuff he's been able to do. He's been really, really close to breaking a few. He's also been a really dangerous in terms of what he's trying to catch. And you just hope that disaster doesn't strike in a game like this, in a moment like this. Like, you need Max Gilbert to be the Max Gilbert we've seen for most of the season outside of that one stretch where he was, what, 1 for 6 and six kicks. And he's recovered since then. He was good before that. Like, yeah, that's who you need him to be. You need Jackson Ross to be Jackson Ross and punt the ball well. Like, yeah, 100%. You better win in special teams because, as Eric Kane likes to say and write, it is a three-phase football game. You better play complimentary football, even in that phase. But, yeah, if Boo Carter could break one, that's huge. If you give up one, that's huge too. I mean, we saw it with Florida back in October. I mean, they almost won that football game because of the special teams plays they made in the second half.
All right, I'm all about giving Grant Ramey his flowers because Grant works harder than all of us combined and churns out all this content. Stop shaking your head. I mean, it's literally facts. We have byline pages. We can go look. It's literally facts.
Don't mistake, what is it? What is it? Something for achievement. Busyness? I can't remember.
I don't know. You're stupid.
Yes, yeah, I am. Thank you.
But you work way harder than we do. So I'm all about giving Grant his flowers.
I got it. Don't mistake activity for achievement. Okay, carry on. Carry on. Sorry.
Grant was perfect on his game. I don't know if you had this in our Game Quest podcast, but on the written side,
yes,
did.
I did. I try to match the scores.
I tried to, too.
From the podcast, but like, or writing.
Oftentimes, I forget. 56-0, so congratulations. But I'm also going to pat myself on the back because I said Brew McCoy 2 touchdowns, and it happened.
The guy got his cookies.
Give me a bold prediction.
I thought my score was going to get ruined by that almost safety with like 30 seconds left. I thought it was going to be 58-0. I was going to miss it by 2 points.
The nerve.
I was going to get burned by the safeties that I was predicting earlier in the season.
What a coincidence. Yes, you were. Also, I'm pretty sure that should have been a safety.
And Tennessee's had like 7 near safeties. Like, what's going on this season? Like, I don't remember 2 safeties the last 12 years. And now it's like every other week they've flirted with one.
Yeah. Give me a bold prediction, Tennessee Vanderbilt.
Bold prediction, Nico, 3 total touchdowns and 278 total yards. Let's be specific. 278, 3 total touchdowns. I think he passes it well. I think he runs it well. I think he plays well.
I'm going to stay on that wavelength. Everybody gets frustrated, calls Nico Joe Jr., overthrow Nico, and all that type of stuff. And I mean, that's fine. That's fair. A lot of times he makes some mistakes and, you know, overthrows and all that. He's a young quarterback. I think it's a bit unfair at times because I think Nico has made a whole lot of plays this year, too. But let's go back here last year. Joe Milton, for the first time in his Tennessee career, threw for over 300 yards in his final Tennessee game. That was against Vanderbilt. He scored 6 total touchdowns, and that was the most since like 2002 or whatever for Tennessee. Joe Milton went off against the Commodore. So Nico Iamaleava is going to go off. Everything is on the line. You got to go to the mid-state and you got to beat your little brother. That's as simple as it. And I'm not trying to disrespect Vanderbilt because they've had a fine year. There's some players. I think Clark Lee's done a heck of a job. End of the day though, if you're Tennessee, it's a game you better go out there and win. You can't assume the win, and too many in the fan base, I think, are assuming the win. But at the end of the day, it's Vanderbilt in your way. So I think Nico's going to go out there and have that game. Nico is just going to go out there and just dominate. I think this is his game. And I think, you know, 4 total touchdowns, and he throws for 330.
Do you realize what Joe did on his last play of that game? Do you think Nico's going to do the same? He scores the touchdown. He kind of like somersaults forward in the end zone. He gets up and he crowns himself. Oh. Like, this is bad audio because you can't see me, but he crowns himself. You think Nico's going to
crown
himself?
Yeah, I beat a really
himself?
Bad Vanderbilt team. Let me put my crown on. Oh, I don't think Nico crowns himself. No,
there's a very good photo of it too. I'll have to pull up the photo where it is straight up Joe using his hands to crown himself in the end zone. Whatever it was against Vanderbilt. And Joe played pretty well in 2022, did he not, at Vanderbilt? I know they ran for like 7,000 yards and everybody. Yeah,
that was the year. That was the year where Jabari, Jalen, and Dylan all ran for over 100 yards. I'm pretty sure. Dylan Sampson had like 132 yards on like five carries because he busted one for like 70. It was really windy and sideways rainy that game, and they tried to take a couple shots to Nashville native, and now I believe he's still playing for Wake Forest, Walker Merrill. They tried to take a couple shots down the field, but I don't think any of them hit. But yeah, I think he played decently. I just remember he went off in that Vanderbilt game last year. But I think Nico goes off in this one. I think he punches Tennessee's ticket to the college football playoffs. Give me four total touchdowns. Give me 330 through the air for Nico Iamaleava, which brings us to our game predictions. Grant Ramey, you got Vanderbilt winning by how much?
I got Tennessee winning 30-13. I don't know if that's three touchdowns and three field goals. Is that math right? I don't know if it's four touchdowns and a 47th safety or near safety of the season. I think Tennessee's – there's too much on the line. They got burned a couple years ago when everything was on the line. I think Josh Heupel and his staff remember that. I think they have to make a point to not let that happen again because you're playing for too much. This is a moment in your program where you got to take that next step. And I don't know how far the first round of the playoff is in terms of taking that next step forward, but you got to get there. Like, this is your opportunity. Everything happened that you needed to happen last week. Now it's up to you to go out there and take care of your own business to stake your own spot in the 12-team playoff. So go out and do it. Find a way to do it. 30-13. Closer game than probably the score indicates because Vanderbilt's a tough team, and I don't expect them to – like you were talking about earlier, what better – thing could happen for them to keep Tennessee out of the playoff, to win that football game, to win that rivalry game. But Tennessee got to find a way to win at 30-30.
And for that reason, I think they're going to make some plays. Pavier's going to make some plays. Stowers is going to make some plays. They're going to score some points. I think Vanderbilt will be the second team all year that exceeds 20 points over Tennessee. I do, simply because of what this game means for them, and Tennessee just simply never makes it easy. There will be threads all over the board on Friday wanting Nico canned and Heupel fired because Tennessee is, you know, not winning at that point in the game, and then Tennessee's going to come and take over. Right. Simple as that. Tennessee's going to come and play the rest of the football game and take over. And I have Tennessee winning 35-21. I have Tennessee winning, covering that 10.5 point spread. 35-21 would hit the over for sure at 48.5, and I think Tennessee is just clearly the better team. You know, spoke with, you know, Boogie Bentley early in the week, and he said simply, you know, Tennessee's got better players. And I agree with that. I mean, Tennessee's got better players. And
here's a question. Do you like that it's an 11 a.m. local time kickoff? Because I think that's better. I think it's better than waiting around all day, play a night game, another night game. I think, and Tennessee has, obviously these were previous teams, but under Josh Heupel, Tennessee's played well in those noon kickoffs. I think it's a benefit to wake up, go play football, take care of your business, don't sit around, wait on it all day.
I completely agree. And, you know, last week was a 1 o'clock local time.
Right.
This week, it's an 11 o'clock local time. So it's very much waking up, going to practice. And I know Tennessee started off slow offensively last week, but I agree with you. I think it doesn't hurt Tennessee. I don't think it's a huge emphasis on how they're going to run away with it, but I don't think it hurts. And I think the bigger question, Grant, and I know people are laughing and rolling their eyes and everything, but I think there's something to it here. It's going to be cold. Matt Ray, yeah. Thoughts and prayers on that sideline. Mm-hmm. It's going to be cold. Nico's from Southern California. Like, literally, this will be the coldest weather he's ever played in. I don't think it's going to be a huge deal. Maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill, as my mother would say, just for bringing it up. But that intrigues me a little bit more on how a quarterback's going to play in this cold weather.
What if the cold weather unlocks him? Like, cold weather Nico, get out of his way.
That'd be awesome.
Then he'd get drafted by the Green Bay Packers and be their 14th straight Hall of Fame quarterback and continue to torture my life. That's another topic for another day.
Oh, beat them Chicago Bears.
It's not funny.
Beat them. All right. Tennessee is going to look to beat Vanderbilt on Saturday. And, of course, we're going to have coverage leading up to kickoff, during the game, after kickoff. Tennessee will not be playing the next week, but eagerly we'll be awaiting those college football playoff rankings if Tennessee wins. But, of course, you got to go handle business. Win, lose, or draw, the reaction is going to be aplenty over at VolQuest.com. So check us out. As always, do want to give a shout out to our friends, our presenting sponsor of the GameQuest podcast. That is Premier Garage of Knoxville.com, East Tennessee's number one provider of custom garage flooring, cabinetry, and storage solutions. Be the best Tennessee fan this football season by ordering the Smoky Gray Hybrid Polymer Floor today. You can go to PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols. That is PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols. To schedule your in-home consultation today with Premier Garage of Knoxville. For Grant Ramey, Ollie Lane, former Vol, thanks so much for him joining the show. I'm Eric Kane. Thank you guys for listening. Hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving, and hopefully the good times will continue to roll this weekend with a win over Vanderbilt in Tennessee. We'll see if we go into the college football playoffs. All that and more right here at VolQuest.com.